much all of my life, and I have I've been in many church services over the years, and there are times when you come into church and you just sense the help of the Lord. You sense the presence of the Lord, and sometimes it's hard to even distinguish, Lord, what is going on? How are you speaking? How are you working in our present situations? And that's why that we desperately need the anointing of the Spirit of God. We desperately need His anointing because God knows every individual heart that's in the building. Amen. He knows what you're up against. I don't. He knows your needs, your trials, your concerns. The working and the moving of the Spirit of God can minister to everybody. Amen. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your needs might be. Amen. So we're just going to trust the Lord today. We're going to read in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And we're reading about this recipe that God gave to Moses for the holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil. This is in Exodus chapter 30. And we're going to read here beginning with verse 22. Exodus 30 and verse 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin, which is about 6 quarts. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be an holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver, and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever toucheth them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, consecrate them that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it. After the composition of it, it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. So you can see that this was a special holy ointment that was to be compounded, brought together, mixed together, and then it created a holy aroma in the temple. And everything that it touched was to be set apart, consecrated, dedicated to God and for God alone. That was the anointing. Now today, when we talk about the anointing, we think of, well, people need to be anointed to sing, or they need to be anointed to preach. They need the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. The fact is, every Christian needs to be anointed of God. Amen. We all need to be anointed of the Spirit of God. And you'll notice that there is a specific mixture. There's no substitute. It's not to be made by any other recipe or any other compound. It was a specific mixture and recipe that was given by God to Moses. This is how it is to be brought together. And it just really speaks to us of how special and precious that this holy anointing oil is to be. And that the anointing needs to rest upon every one of us. It needs to rest upon the house of God. It needs to rest upon every ministry that we're involved in. Every effort that we put forth, we need the anointing of the Spirit of God to rest upon us. Amen. It sets us apart to do His work, to do His service, this holy anointing oil. And may God pour out His Spirit today in a mighty anointing of the Spirit of God. There's no substitute for it. If we try to substitute it, we might try to use our natural abilities. We might try to use our talents, our gifts, our natural gifts that we have. But there's no substitute in your life for the touch of God, for the anointing of the Spirit of God that needs to rest upon every one of us here today. So I wanted to just take a look at this holy anointing oil and just look at these different components that were provided by God to Moses as a mixture to make this holy anointing oil. And it begins with myrrh. Notice there, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh. Now myrrh was made from the bark of a rare Arabian tree, and the process whereby they were able to bring out the oil was a steaming process. They would steam it and heat it up, and then somehow out of this bark would come forth this fragrance, this oil that would pour out. It really is a wonderful picture of meekness, not weakness, but meekness, whereby once we are submitted to God, yielded to God, then He is able then to bring out of our lives something that's valuable, something something that can really make an impact through our lives. But sometimes we go through that process whereby God is working in our life to bring that to pass. Moses, the Bible says, was the meekest man to ever live. Numbers chapter 12. Moses was very meek above all men that were upon the face of the earth. And again, meekness is not weakness, but instead it is power under control. Power that's been brought under control. You remember the first 40 years of Moses' life? He lived in the palace. He was in luxury. He had all the privileges. He was the prince of Egypt. He had all these amazing privileges that were given to him. But the second 40 years of his life was spent on the backside of the wilderness. There he was taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. And it was through that process that all of the, you know, stubbornness and all of the rebellion and everything, all these things that were in his life, the self-will and all of these things were, I guess we could say, steamed out of his life. So that later, at the end of that 40-year period, whenever he comes across this bush burning in the wilderness, a bush burning that was not being burnt up, it was not being consumed, that his approach to it was, he took his shoes off and approached unto it. And when the voice of the Lord spoke to him out of that bush, he responded in obedience to the voice of the Lord to do what God was calling him to do. So myrrh represents meekness, that God does a work in our life to make us into something that we could never be without some of the experiences and even the pressure that we might go through. God works through all of these circumstances to make something out of us. Amen. And so when you're going through it, when you're going through some trying situation that you don't understand, you can be assured that God can work through that. can work in the midst of that trial and to bring something, a sweet smelling fragrance, out of your life, even through the trying circumstance of your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses recognized, I'm going to take my shoes off. I'm standing on holy ground. He's a transformed man. He's completely changed because of the circumstances of his life. And now when he hears the voice of the Lord telling him to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt, he is willing to go forth and do the will of God. Amen. So God can work even in the most adverse circumstances of our life to bring something wonderful out of it. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. The second ingredient was sweet cinnamon. Sweet cinnamon. And it was taken from the bark of a sweet bay tree. And this tree would grow straight and tall. And really, it speaks of uprightness. Uprightness. Now, if you want the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life, then allow God to work through adverse circumstances to bring out the myrrh, the meekness of your life. And then allow God to work even in your life to cause you to live an upright, straight life before the Lord. That was this tree that the sweet cinnamon came from, a sweet bay tree that came from China, actually, and the traders. So it was precious, it was valuable, and it represents the straight life, living a life that is upright before God. Amen. Living a life of obedience unto the Lord. Amen. You want the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life? Live an upright life. Live a holy life. Live a life that's separate from the world and walk before the Lord in uprightness. Amen. That means that there's going to be some times when God speaks to you, you're going to say yes to the Lord when it's not easy to say yes. Then there's going to be times when you're going to have to say no, when the enemy comes and tempts you and wants to cause you to move into a direction away from the will of God. That life of uprightness, amen. If you want the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life, live a life that's straight and upright before the Lord. Ephesians chapter 3, it describes how important it is for us to live our life and to take a stand and do what is right. Do you know that in the Old Testament, the priests, whenever they were chosen, there were certain things listed about the priests that they were not allowed to be priests if they had certain infirmities in their physical body. And one of those, if they did not have a straight back, they were not allowed to be in the priesthood. And it was all symbolic of the fact that even the men of God, the priests, were to be upright in the way that they lived. They were to be holy and walk before the Lord in uprightness. Amen. That was for the Levites and for the priests. Remember Job, that God saw that Job was a man that was perfect. He was upright. He was righteous. He feared God. And he hated evil. That was Job. And God saw him in his character and who he was. He was an upright man. You want the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life? Live an upright life. Live a righteous life. Live a straight life. Be pleasing to the Lord. Take a stand. As I said, four times in the book of Ephesians, we are commanded to stand. Stand, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. We're commanded to just take a stand. It's not always easy to do that. Amen. In this present world, it's not easy always to stand up for what's right and to proclaim the truth and to live a righteous and a holy life. You want the anointing of God's Spirit upon your life? Live a life of righteousness. Live upright before God, and God will honor that uprightness and bless you with the anointing of the Spirit of God. Psalm 37 and verse 37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright. That was the psalmist saying, this man that is set apart and is upright and is walking in righteousness before the Lord, this is a man that God can touch. Amen. Praise God. Oh, how we need the anointing of the Spirit of God to rest upon us. And we are giving this amazing prescription for the anointing. The third thing is sweet calamus. This was made from a reed that grew in the swamps. The interesting thing about this reed is the head of it would fill up with this oil. And they knew it was ready to be used whenever it was so heavy that it leaned over and almost would touch the ground. And so sweet calamus, when the head was full and bent over to the ground, it really speaks of humility before the Lord. You know, Jesus is really our great example of what it means to be humble. Amen. That even though he was the Son of God, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he made himself no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. That was Jesus. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Praise God. Jesus was bent low. He came low. And his humility, it was Jesus himself that was anointed of the Spirit of God. Amen. And you and I, if we want to be anointed of the Spirit of God, then there's a life of humility that we are to walk before the Lord in humility. Amen. The Bible says God resisteth the proud. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. The person that humbles himself under the mighty hand of God, God will touch that person's life. And you're a candidate for the anointing of the Spirit of God when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some amazing things in this text that remind us that there are some steps that we can follow to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and the things of the Lord so that we can be anointed of the Spirit of God. The fourth thing was cassia. This was given to people for an inner cleansing. And it was really like a drink or a tea that they would drink to cleanse them from the inside. And it really speaks to us of how important it is for us to have an inner cleansing of our life. I think we all recognize that there's a lot of things in this world that can contaminate your life, your mind, your heart. And before long, we are completely saturated with the effects of this world. But we need a cleansing. We need to come before the presence of the Lord and allow the Lord to cleanse us from everything that would hinder us from walking in purity and holiness before the Lord. Amen. So God can work in our life to cleanse us. And that was what the psalmist David said when he said, wash me, cleanse me, purge me, work in my life, cleanse out all of these things that are not pleasing to you, Lord. Remove all of these things so that even the hidden man of the heart, that which no one else knows about or no one sees, Lord, cleanse me from the inside out and purge me and sanctify me by the power of your Spirit. When you do that, when you allow the Lord to work in your life that way, you're a candidate for the anointing of the Spirit of God upon your life. The fifth thing, which is the last of the ingredients, was the hin of oil. It was the major component. 6 quarts of oil. And this is just describing the importance of being filled with the Spirit. Amen. Be filled with the Spirit. Psalm 92 in verse 10. But my horn thou shalt exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Every believer, every Christian needs to be filled with the Spirit. And you can say, well, I was filled with the Spirit such and such a time in my past. But what about now? What about today? This text is talking about fresh oil, something fresh, something that is not stale or old, but something that's for today, for right now, how we need the oil of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. So may the Spirit of God stir our hearts and help us to recognize that we need to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Then all these other components, this myrrh of meekness, this cinnamon of uprightness, this calamus of humility, and this cassia of cleansing, all of these components, all brought together, working in our life to bring about the anointing of the Spirit of God. Amen. And this anointing oil, according to this text in Exodus, was to be precious. It was to be valuable. It was to be used to separate and to sanctify all of those pieces of furniture inside of the tabernacle. They would go in and they would anoint everything, the laver, the candlesticks, and the tables, and the Ark of the Covenant, and everything within the temple was to be anointed with that oil, set it apart as unto God. Amen. There were times in the history of Israel that when their enemies came in and attacked them and stole away the items from and even the Ark of God was stolen away, then they would desecrate those things that were set apart and placed, that had been anointed to be used for God and for God alone. They would desecrate it and use it for something else. How often is it true that as believers, we've experienced the touch of the Spirit of God upon our life, but right now, we've allowed ourselves to get so distracted and so involved in everything else of this world, and that which is supposed to be set apart, pure, precious, and holy, has been desecrated because we've allowed the things of this world to really influence our lives way too much. Amen. Amen. So it's a precious and a holy anointing oil. It's not to be on man's flesh, it says in verse 32, not upon the flesh. Not to be upon the flesh. That anointing oil was not to be upon the flesh. The flesh, it was to be sanctified and used upon that man and woman of God and upon all the items of the tabernacle, to set it apart, to be used only for the Lord. And that's you and I. Amen. We have a divine and a holy calling and a holy purpose. And we have been set apart for God's use only. Amen. Not for the use of the world, not for the use of the things of this life, but that precious anointing oil. Every part of the tabernacle, every altar, every vessel, every table, every candlestick, everything was made holy when it was touched by this anointing oil. There was not to be any other compound made to be like it. There's no substitute for the real thing. Amen. As I said, I've been around Pentecost pretty much all of my life. And I can tell when it's real. I can tell when it's real. When God is really anointing. When God is really speaking. When God is really moving. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to hear the word of the Lord. A wonderful thing it is to come into a time of worship. And it not just be songs, but anointed songs, anointed singers, anointed worshipers, all touched by the power of the Spirit of God. That's you and I. We should come into the house of the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, anoint every word, anoint every song, everything that takes place in the meeting. Lord, let it be anointed of the Spirit of God that people's lives will be changed. Amen. Something about the anointing is it makes everything more effective. Amen. Amen. Our abilities that are pretty weak, but whenever the Spirit of God is resting upon our weak ability, then something wonderful can take place. Amen. God can work and He can move in the lives of people whenever the Spirit of God is resting upon everything. I've witnessed people over the years of my life, people that didn't have much education, didn't have much talent or ability, but something about it, when the Spirit of God came upon them and they were anointed of the Spirit of God, they were effective. God used them in spite of their weaknesses and their inability. Amen. Praise God. Oh, how we need the anointing of the Spirit of God to rest upon every one of us. Praise God. Then it says it's for every generation. That's in verse 31. Thou shalt be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. So that just means it's not just for the past. It's not just for the stories that we've heard of how God has moved in the past. This is for every generation. It's for right now. It's for 2025. Right now, this anointing is for today, and God can bless and move in our behalf. And it makes all the difference. Amen. It turns the normal into something supernatural when the anointing of the Spirit of God is resting upon lives and upon church services and upon every ministry endeavor. The anointing of the Spirit of God makes all the difference. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Interesting, that word unction there means to smear on. And it's really describing the anointing. When you have the anointing upon your life, then you have this an endowment of power, this unction from the Holy One, whereby God is able to work supernaturally and turn your natural abilities into something supernatural that God can use and He can work through. Praise the name of the Lord. Folks, we need the anointing. I know I do, and I know every one of us here in this service, if you're going to be effective in whatever endeavors, whatever ministry, whatever you're trying to do to bring glory to God, the anointing of the Holy Ghost will make all the difference. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And so today, I just want to encourage you to open up your heart. Notice some of these elements of this anointing. Maybe in the area of meekness or humility, some of these areas, maybe that's some areas you need to allow the Lord to work on in your life because you want His power at work in your life. Praise God. And He wants to move for us today if you'll just open up your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lord, I'm asking you to send your anointing upon this service and upon the people that have gathered here today. Lord, that there would be a desire for something supernatural, something above anything that we could ever accomplish in our own ability. But Lord, by your Spirit and your power, you can work today and you can change lives and you can move supernaturally, Lord, in this place today. Hallelujah. You know, the promise, folks, is given for these last days. Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Praise God. Amen. God wants to pour His Spirit out upon us. Amen. Would you make yourself available to the Lord? Would you allow the Lord to work in your life to make you a candidate for the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God? Hallelujah. Could we stand together across this building today? Lord, in Jesus' name, stir our hearts, Lord, and give to us a hunger, Lord, for more of the things of God. Your anointing to rest upon every one of us. Your power, Lord, to rest upon every one of your people today. And we thank you for it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I just want to welcome everybody in this service this morning.